Well, hey folks, welcome to day three of my teaching this week, where I'm talking about living in and living out of the promises of God. In a moment, I want to jump into that. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit more as on the same line I was in yesterday, where I talk about overcoming disappointment and what happens to our hearts when we try to believe something and it feels or seems like it doesn't happen. Because that's where, man, in my experience, that's where about 95%, maybe 99.95% of Christians live. And it does not have to be that way. These things should not be. Here's a crazy radical thought for you. You know, Jesus never taught about unanswered prayer. Sit there, think about it. He never taught about unanswered prayer. I think, and I was saying this yesterday, but evangelicals have become experts at explaining away why things don't happen. And after a while, we just get to a place where we deal with the disappointment problem by never expecting things to happen. You know, I know many people have been hurt in relationships, hurt in love, and they come to the conclusion, and it's true in a way, but it's a terrible truth. It's not a good one. Come to the conclusion, the way to not get hurt is just never get close to anybody. Now, I guess at a practical level, that's going to work because you're not going to get hurt, but you're also never going to have a relationship. And I think many people solve the faith problem by simply saying, I'm not going to believe God. And I want to jump into this today, deal with this. A couple of housekeeping things before I do. I'm in the UK right now. Be back in the US on Thursday, flying into Boston. Speaking in New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire on Friday. Sturbridge Worship Center on Monday. Yep, all is good. Hey, do grab a copy of this book, my old battered one, but The Promise, by Graham James, where I speak about exploring the promises of God and how to experience them, live in them, and live out of them. And yeah, what else am I going to say? Do sign up for our email newsletter. Link below. I'm sure it will bless you, and it's a great way of keeping in touch with us and finding out what's going on in my life and ministry. So let me begin by reading a scripture. I was actually preaching on this in Manchester, England, on this past Sunday in 1 Timothy 1:19. Paul talks about, he's talking to Timothy about those who've made shipwreck of the faith, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Shipwreck. Just think about that. Imagine a ship, and Paul knew about ships, he knew about shipwrecks, he knew about storms. Imagine a ship going from port A to port B, leaving, Israel, Jaffa, on its way to Italy, to Rome, like Paul did. And somewhere along the course, you made shipwreck. And Paul here says some people have literally made shipwreck of the faith. And I think a lot of Christians have done that. It's not like they've shipwrecked their entire faith in Jesus, their faith in Him as the Savior of the world, their faith in Him in a global sense. But often, the faith in Him that He will be real, He'll be active, that He will intervene and interact with their lives. I've seen a lot of people who basically just, reach that place of shipwreck where they go, I'm not going to do this any longer. And I think that's a really bad thing to do. And I want to give you some, probably a couple of keys today that will help you out of that mess. I think the first thing is this. You know, start with good foundations in your faith. I showed yesterday how I got quote-unquote hurt in my faith because I tried to believe God for something, and when it didn't happen, God failed, whatever. And it never occurred to me at the time, maybe I didn't have grounds to have faith. You see, if I'm going to have faith in you, I can't just have this weird, well, I've got faith in you. Well, great, what does that mean? I have faith in your word. I have faith in your promise. I have faith that you are faithful to your promise. And I have faith that you have the ability to meet and keep that promise. So when somebody says, I have faith in God, okay, like, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. So it doesn't take a lot, it doesn't mean a lot when somebody says, I have faith in God. What I actually want to know is which of God's promises do you have faith in? You don't just have faith in God in an abstract way. You have faith in God's promises. Now, At that time, I went there, and my faith wasn't really in any of God's promises in that experience. My faith was actually in a guy who wrote a book. I believed this would work because I believed in the honesty and the integrity of the guy. I believed it would work for me because it worked for him. Now, that's not intrinsically wrong, but what I should have done is read the book, been inspired by the guy, and then gone back and said, hey, the God who this guy met, I want to meet him too. I want to know the Lord in the same way this guy does. I want to do what he has done, so I will get what he has got. And again, I think a lot of our challenge is when we just copy somebody else, we end up doing the right things. I was releasing faith actions, but I didn't really have faith in my heart. And that's really one of the crux of where I want to get to today. Faith isn't simply a head thing, it's a heart thing. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And it takes, there's sometimes a journey from the head to the heart that passes through the mind and the mouth. There's sometimes a journey where we've got to get to the place where we actually really believe this stuff in our heart. And I think many of us will be in a situation where we've got a promise of God, like Sarah, and we're looking at it, and our minds are like a pinball machine on tilt. We're like, I don't believe that. Yeah, I can say I do. I can act out I do. I can religiously, yeah, I believe. But like, what does it mean to really believe in the heart? You know, I've met a lot of people, and I love them, who will quote Mark 11:24. You know, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. And it's an amazing verse. Kenneth Hagin used to preach on it all the time. But Mark 11:24, read the verse one or two before that. It speaks about speaking to the mountain. Whosoever will speak to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say will come to pass. And I think most of our problem is it's not that we don't have faith. It's that we're trying to have faith and we've still got doubts in our heart. And our doubts, like Peter walking on the water, our doubts cause our faith to be dragged under. Peter walked on water. When doubt hit him, he began to sink. What happens when a ship hits a shipwreck? It begins to sink. So doubt will sink your faith. I've often said, and people sometimes get offended at this, I like to say, when in doubt, repent. And I don't mean that you're a terrible old sinner. My point is, realign, rethink, recalibrate. When there's doubt in your heart, stop. Come back to the Lord. How do we deal with doubt? You know, I've learned that you don't get rid of doubts with a sort of intellectual, theological explanation. You don't get rid of doubts by pretending they're not there. You get rid of doubt by being in the presence of God. There's a song I love to quote. It says, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And here's the answer, here's the antidote in my experience to doubt. Just be with Jesus. Spend time with him. Let him, don't try to attack the doubts. Let the light of who he is, of his glory, of his presence, come in and invade that space. And I think the more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you spend in his presence, the more doubts get dissolved, the more doubts flee away. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you will know of their character, their reliability, their faithfulness. When we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about somebody who never lies, never fails, never gives up, never walks out on us, who is faithful to the uttermost. So, come on, you're going on a journey, you're going to, let me end with this though. I don't think we should be surprised when we have we don't want shipwrecks, but we shouldn't be surprised when we go through storms. I think it should be a normal, natural thing. I think some of us start on a journey of faith. The sun is shining, we have our yachting, gear on, and we think we're on a pleasure cruise, and we're not expecting to hit a storm. And when we hit a storm, we're, oh my God, the devil's attacking me. Like, yeah, the devil's attacking you. You're going through a storm. I don't think we should be surprised when we go through storms. And I think if we know in advance we're going to go through storms, we are prepared for that. You know, I fly a lot. Flying back to the States over the pond in a couple of days' time. I'm not surprised if I hit turbulence. I don't want to hit turbulence. I'd rather not, you know, have to go back to my seat, put my seatbelt on, and hold my coffee as the plane's shaking around or whatever. But I'm not surprised by it, and I have confidence in the plane and the manufacturer of the plane and the piloting the plane to get me through the turbulence. So if you're going through a storm, don't be surprised. Realize that's part of the course. That's not the time to throw the word of God overboard. It's the time to throw the doubt overboard. Believe in God and He will lead you through that storm. Boom. Guys, I've got to check out now, but more on this tomorrow. I'm going to be doing a Q&A about any of these things. So if you have some questions, get those to me. I'll include those in next week's Q&A. And again, encourage you to grab a copy of this book, link below, and sign up for our email newsletter. Thanks for watching. Drop me a line. I really would love to hear from you. Let me know if I can pray for you. And blessings in Jesus' name. Bye for now.